You are listening to the Mother of All Talk Shows podcast with George Galloway.
Major David McBride is a military hero, not just because he put his life on the line in uniform, but because he spoke out about crimes that he saw being committed by other men in uniform in Afghanistan. We featured him in one of the most popular interviews of recent times here on the Mother of All Talk Shows. And I wanted to catch up with how his prosecution, yes, you get prosecuted for telling the truth, ask Julian Assange, but also how he was feeling as he watched the withdrawal from the country in which he had served. And he joins me now, Major David McBride. Thank you very much indeed for joining us again. First of all, a lot of military ex-servicemen, serving servicemen and women have felt great anguish as they saw a 20-year war end in such bloody disarray in Afghanistan. What did you feel about it?
A greater reveal, I guess, of the curtain falling down as to what we saw on the 15th of August. It was showing the world that everything there was a lie, and the fact that the President Ghani took off with a bag full of money, ran for the hills with his supporters, and everything collapsed, and the Americans did have to escape by helicopter from the roof of their embassy, having said that that would never, never happen. It revealed to the world what I and pretty much everybody who worked there knew. It was a debacle. It was all a lie. And we had done nothing but enrich ourselves and completely break the country all over a course of 20 years. And that senior people in the UK, the US and Australia had lied to the public, repeatedly lied to the public about what was really going on for their own self-serving means. And it was all revealed. Now I'm hoping to use it to get some accountability.
The last American serviceman killed in Afghanistan was 4 years old when it began. There have been few wars, certainly since the dawning of the 20th century, that lasted 20 years. It's an epoch, historically speaking. The Australians were involved in it right from the start. What is the state of Australian public opinion now about the sacrifice they made in this war?
I think Australians are rightly very embittered about it. And there is a huge amount of questioning of us immediately going to war with the US. You know, if the US is like the school bully of the world, Australia is like their flunky, and we just follow them around. And whenever they do something, we stand behind them and go, yeah, yeah. And us too. You know, we didn't even put a moment's thought into going to war with the US. We didn't put a moment's thought into their completely unworkable plan. We just said, yeah, whatever the US wants, that's great. They're our allies. And I think more and more people now, in fact, I can't imagine there's anybody in Australia that doesn't say, this damaged our soul. This permanently damaged our national psyche, that we will go and sacrifice the lives of our soldiers. We will kill thousands of Afghans and achieve nothing. We are better than that as a nation. And people are beginning to question that the government is telling us the truth, that the government really cares about the life of servicemen, and the government cares about these things they claim to care about. Freedom, which usually means money. We didn't care about the rule of law. We now try to say, oh, well, we were trying to help women and girls in Afghanistan. But that's just a propaganda lie. There were more freedoms for women and girls in Afghanistan when the Russians were running it. But of course, we couldn't have that, or the Americans couldn't have that, because they hated the Russians. And so they started this proxy war. And the very people they armed to start the proxy war, which was, of course, started when I was a kid, they were the ones who didn't want schooling for women and girls. They were our allies. We consistently aligned ourselves with the most odious people. And the majority of Afghans do not want the sort of people we aligned ourselves with, because the only thing they cared about was money. They didn't care about Afghanistan. They didn't care about people. They cared about getting money for their own tribal leaders. We still haven't had any accountability yet, and I think more will come out. As you know, it's quite hard to bring the massive population with you. But my big aim is to not stop here, but to say, yeah, we'll be open-minded about it, but we need to start finding out who knew what and when they knew it and whether they lied to the public. We need something a bit like the Chilcot inquiry that you had in the UK, and that's what I'm going to work with my allies, to say, let's find out. Maybe there's a good excuse, but let's find out what our leaders knew about this.
Well, I commend that ambition. One hopes that it isn't as long as the Chilcot inquiry, as delayed as its conclusions were, and as absolutely untouchable those even found remotely guilty by the Chilcot inquiry. We'll exchange notes on what kind of inquiry you should not have, Major, directly between you and me. But, I mean, you know, you did this in Vietnam. We did not. Australia was then, of course, in the 1960s, a much more Anglo-Saxon adjunct, if you like, than it is now. The pluralism in Australian society is much, much greater. But you did it again in Afghanistan. And if the Americans have their way, you'll do it again, along with Japan and one or two others, in the confrontation with China. It seems strange to me that a country like Australia, with a relatively small population, and geographically situated in a way that doesn't have to get drawn into conflict after conflict for the edification of people many thousands of miles away, is it because the political class in Australia are basically people that whose minds are still in the 1960s?
Yes. And I think everything went downhill after the Vietnam War, or during the Vietnam War. That was a big mistake. We increasingly got American intelligence bases in Australia. One prime minister tried to get rid of them, and the Americans got rid of him. It's this. We have this myth that the conservatives say, oh, well, we need American intelligence. Well, the history of American intelligence is not good. They haven't foreseen any of the major events in the past 50 years, like the deposing of the Shah of Iran or the rise of the Taliban. They haven't seen anything. They haven't got anything right unless it's a coincidence. And the idea that we need American intelligence is ridiculous. But they have, like in your country, a bit like the Prince Charles thing you were talking about, they have a huge amount of influence where they donate to politicians through various different companies, and they kind of own the politicians. If the public knew the truth about what it costs us to be effectively part of America, I don't think they would like it. And the only reason America needs us is because they can't carry out these foreign adventures on their own. That's why they wanted us to come to the Iraq War, because it just they could say, oh, look, there's this first world country that's with us. It's not just us. And you're right. My big fear is not trying to get accountability for Afghanistan, but I'm trying to avoid us going to war with China, which is being talked up all the time, in the same way that we went to war in Afghanistan. And I'm trying to show through the Afghanistan debacle that the way that we go to war is totally based on false information. It is based on propaganda from America rather than the truth. And yes, I'm trying to prevent the next war, because it's likely we haven't changed any of our senior military leaders. We haven't changed any of our senior intelligence people. So what do you think they're going to do? The next time America asks them, they'll be like, yeah. And the press have a lot to be responsible for, because they print a lot of stuff which is clearly propaganda. And what chance have the public got when they assume that something in the major media outlets is based on some sort of truth? As we've seen from Afghanistan, the press played along with a lot of what we call information operations, which means lies by the government, and they are doing it again. There's always an anti-China story at the moment. There's always like some mysterious Chinese cyber attack, which no one can verify, but the media runs it as if it's fact. We get them from Russia too, supposedly. No one can verify whether that's true. And this is despite the fact that we have the ability to carry out false flag cyber attacks on ourselves, so we could easily fake it. But nobody questions these mysterious reasons for ramping up our security state. And it's considered a truism that war with China would be a good thing. Now, we should have learned from Afghanistan. We should have learned from Vietnam. Everybody in Australia now knows Vietnam was a bad idea, a stupid, poorly thought out attempt for Americans to increase their influence in the world. They're beginning to see that Afghanistan and Iraq were the same, but strangely enough, they don't necessarily see that the trying to ramp up a war with China is exactly the same. So I need to work on that and to try to help people to see that we are being fooled time and again by this kind of slave relationship that the US has with us. And they need us only because they can say to the world, we're not doing this on our own.
Well, more power to your elbow, Major. Tell us about your own case. As I said earlier in preface, you blew the whistle on some quite horrendous war crimes allegedly carried out by Australian Special Forces and others in the war in Afghanistan. And instead of prosecuting them, they prosecuted you. What's the latest on your case?
Well, it's going to be drawn out for another year. It'll eventually be 4 years before I get into court. And so that is disappointing in some ways. It's not the fault of the judge. The judge has been extremely fair. Every time I put in a witness statement to say what happened, the military, of course, countered with 20 witness statements, which are all highly classified, probably the same sort of stuff you saw in the Chilcot inquiry. They're trying to avalanche me with this sort of, most of it is irrelevant information, and it's very hard for us to deal with it because everything is, I think, wrongly classified as highly sensitive stuff. And so that means it has to go around in literally an armored car or thereabouts, and no one's allowed to see it unless they're in some sort of locked room. And from myself and my lawyers to study it is very hard. Anyway, the case has been put off for a year. I'm hoping I will see justice. The charges may eventually be dropped. We could have a change of government. The incoming government may think differently. I'm hoping in the meantime, the more and more scandals come out. One of the people, a major people accused of war crimes, is running a defamation action against the idea that he is a war criminal. If he loses that defamation action, it's a bit tricky for the viewers. You'll understand it. It will look, effectively, it'll be the closest we will get to a trial. He's a famous person. He's one of the good examples of what I was trying to point out, in that he was a famous hero who got awarded every single medal possible. And yet there were, from the very beginning, there were people saying, you need to be careful. This is not necessarily what it seems. And I believe the government knew that, but they were more interested in positive appearances than they were the truth. And they didn't just give medals to the wrong people. They actually tried to put people in, when they needed a scapegoat. They were that sinister. When they needed a scapegoat, they didn't have any problems with finding people who were just doing their job and chucking them in jail. We've become a very sinister, cynical organisation where we will sacrifice good people for the right press story. We will lionise bad people. We pretended the war was going well when it wasn't. And now we're probably going to do a whole new propaganda mission, not based on truth. We've become quite dystopian in Australia. And as you rightly pointed out, I'm the only one facing trial from the Afghanistan war, like the only one. Not a single senior official is even, being questioned or having to face some sort of a career. People who spent billions are not having any questions to answer about whether they did the right thing. It's just me, the whistleblower, who is facing trial. And it leads me to believe it's a bit like what Julian Assange has said. They didn't want to win the war. They just wanted to prolong the war because it was self-serving.
Well, dystopia, indeed. We both live there. Major David McBride, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the Mother of All Talk Shows.